Apparently, we've got some royalty visiting us tonight. If you look around, we got a couple princesses that decided to grace us with their presence this evening. So, you know, handle that accordingly, you know. I guess we need to bow before, I don't know, you know. Definitely hold the doors for them, you know, those kind of things. Hopefully none of them lose their slippers or something, you know. I did learn one thing. Found out I didn't know Belle wore boots. Apparently that's what you wear. Belle wears boots. So, you know, Texas Belle wears boots, you know. I guess Disney got it wrong. That doesn't surprise us, you know. Yeah, that ain't the first thing they got wrong. Definitely not. All right. You got two places you're going to go to. Go to Luke 17 and Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to look at something I think we need to be reminded of now and again. This message is important. I think sometimes we pass over these scriptures at times and we read them and go, yeah, that needs to, you know, that's how we should handle these things. But then I think sometimes we forget to do it. It's good to put it into practice in our just regular daily life. If this happens to you, take care of it. We're going to look at how to handle offenses. When someone offends you or someone wrongs you, how are we to handle that? Often I think we tend to think that we're not, you know, we're scared to say something, we're scared to do anything about it, or we don't want to appear weak or soft, or, you know, we don't want to appear like, you know, I don't want them to know I got my feelings hurt, or there's different reasons why we don't want to do something. You don't want to start a conflict. I understand that. You know, I don't want to cause problems. And yeah, but the scripture, in studying all this, I realized that, you know, if both parties have the right attitude, there actually won't be a problem. We're gonna look at some of that tonight. I think sometimes we look at Psalm 119, 165. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." I think often we look at that and go, well, I'm not living scripture because I got offended. And I've thought about that, and I thought, that whole chapter is about the Bible. And I think, man, great peace have they which love that. If I love God's law, then the Bible's not going to offend me. Everything in scripture is not going to offend me. I'm not going to get wronged by this. But, you know, there's some stuff out in the world that greatly offends me that I don't appreciate. I think, you know, I don't want it. I don't want to see it. I don't know about you, but man, there's a lot of stuff going on. I go, whoa, this is wickedness against God. I don't like it. Man, the world likes to say, oh, you offended me. You offended me because of what you said. You know, you Baptists, you preacher, you're hard. Well, you know what? There's some things they do that offend me. Why can't we talk about it and mention and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing what you're doing? We want to look at, okay, it's going to happen. How should we deal with this? Look in Luke 17. Keep your finger in Matthew 18 because that's predominantly where we're going to be. Luke 17, verse 1 says, "Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come." Then Matthew 18 and verse 7 says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offenses come." Jesus tells us that their offenses are going to come. If you live this life, if you live any length of time in this life, you're going to have offenses happen to you. It's going to happen. Well, if that's the case, then how are we to handle them? Look in verse 15. "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." We're going to look at how to handle these offenses and these trespasses when they come into our life, what we should do with them. Let's go to God in a word of prayer this evening. Lord, we thank you for the folks that came tonight, God. They came here to get something from your word. Lord, I ask that you give me wisdom as I preach tonight, that it would be a help and a blessing and encouragement to them. And Lord, just may you be honored and lifted up. And may you get all the glory and praise in this message. In Jesus' name, amen. What is a trespass? Now, trespass is a sin or any other wrong or improper act. To commit an offense or to do any act that injures or annoys another. Well, what is an offense? It is a displeasure, anger, moderate anger, a transgression of law, divine or human. A crime, a sin, act of wickedness, or omission of duty. So it's a combination of some things, okay? Christ said it was going to happen. So how do we deal with it? Let's continue. Let's go back there, Matthew 18. Let's read a few more verses here. Verse 15, we'll read that again. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." So, this is how we're to handle things amongst the brethren. Now look, these kind of things, I think you can take this and you say, oh, should I take this and apply it to the workforce? To some degree, yeah. Look, someone wrongs you at work, go up and talk to them. See if you can help that relationship, all right? If we can establish a relationship with people, sometimes they're a little more warm to the gospel because they know where you're coming from. If you can help that relationship, yeah, that this would apply there. But this really is talking about the church, okay, us. The church, the local church, but then there's the church, the body of Christ, all right? Other Christians that you come across and you have dealings with, okay? So what is the responsibility of the person who got trespassed against? Who's hurt? They got wronged. Well, first of all, don't assume the worst. Don't assume the worst. Often, I do it too. Someone does something, you think, man, and just what is it? What happens? Devil wants to put them thoughts in your mind. You think the worst of that person. Yeah, they really meant to do that. Okay, you know, did they really? You don't know their heart. You don't know what's going on. You just don't. Don't assume the worst. Yeah, the thoughts may come in, and I'm not. Don't beat yourself up because, oh man, I got thinking that this. Oh no, just they'll come in, but put them off to the side. Don't assume the worst. Number two, it's your responsibility to go talk to the trespasser. Have you ever hurt somebody and you didn't know it? You had no idea that you offended them or you trespassed them? I have. You were clueless. And then they came and brought it up to you and you went, man, I'm sorry. I had no idea that. And sometimes it's something we say. What I find often, it's not so much what we say, but how we say it. Now, it can be what we say. Sometimes what you said, you meant one thing and they took it another. It happens. And you know what? So therefore, because the person who did the trespassing, they may not know that they even did that. I've heard pastors in the past talk about how that's happened. I know my dad has had that happen where someone did something to him or he did something to somebody and went up and they don't know. Sometimes the trespasser doesn't realize that they've done anything. So that's why it's up to the person who's gotten trespassed against. It's your responsibility. Hey, if they did something and it bothers you, go talk to them. Go confront them about it. Say something to them. They may not have even known they hurt you. Number three, tell him his fault between you and him alone. Don't run around and tell other people, oh man, did you hear what Brother Charles did to me last Sunday? That guy, I tell you what, I walked by to shake his hand and he just looked the other way. Totally hurt my feelings. Don't run around and tell other people what's going on. You know, that's the tendency. You know what happens if you sit and stew on it? It's got to come out. You know, you put a pot of water on the stove, put the lid on, what happens? It starts to heat up, and that pot tends to want to open up. Well, if you sit on something, sometimes it tends to stew inside you, and you want to open up. Well, don't open up to other people. Open up to the person that you're upset with. Go to them. Take it to them. Now, what does the scripture say? It does say if they won't hear you, go get one or two other people with you. But that's if they won't hear you. That means you've gone to them ahead of time. You've privately talked with them and said, hey, I got to talk to you about something. And if they don't want and they won't listen to you, okay, then you get someone else involved. And I believe, you know, it doesn't say it, but I believe you should get someone with good report, okay, that you know is, all right, this is someone they'll respect. This is someone they'll listen to. This is someone who, you know, for instance, in this church, is good report in the church. You know, if it's us men here, okay, I don't recommend you go get Trey Mosley to come with you. You know, well, he's another person. No, that's probably not a good idea. Get someone a good report. Number four, what's the purpose of all of this? Is it to show them their fault? Hey, you did me wrong. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to win them back. Okay, it's to reconcile a situation, because often what has gone on here is the person who's been trespassed against, you're hurting. Well, I've noticed, man, when I hurt and I bring something up to somebody and they you know they apologize to me, all of a sudden it's like that pain is gone, because now they realize we're doing better, we've been reconciled together, and that fellowship with each other is brought back together, okay? It's not so that you can beat them over the head. You did me wrong. I can't believe you did that. No, it's to bring you back together. Be reconciled. Hey, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? God doesn't want a split family. He wants a family that's close, that's well-knit. If the problem gets taken care of, it's done and over. That's how it should be. Number five, what should your attitude be? See, sometimes we're in the right, but do we act right about it? See, our attitude should be one of meekness and humility. When you're coming before the person that did you wrong, it shouldn't be, you did me dirty, and I'm hoping to get this reconciled. Well, you know, having the right approach is a big part of reconciling. I tend to find, man, if I want them to even listen to what I've got to say, I need to make sure I approach them properly. If I approach them like I'm better than them, they're probably not going to hear me out. Even though I'm right and they did me wrong, they're probably not going to hear me out. We need to have an attitude of meekness and humility. If you walk away going, I gave him what for, I gave him a tongue lashing, he'll remember that one, you got the wrong attitude. That's not the right response. Now you did the wrong. Hey, you don't want to have that. You don't want to just wronging each other. I mean, my goodness. Number six, the end result should be forgiveness. Forgiveness. Go to Luke 17, keep your finger there in Matthew. Luke 17 and verse 3. It says, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, tell him, nope, sorry, too much. I'm not forgiving you. and be done with them, right? No. Thou shalt forgive him. See, the end, the result of this, the whole point of this is to get forgiveness. That means I need, when I'm coming to somebody to tell them, hey, you did me wrong, I'm already ready to forgive them. See, I need to take care of the forgiveness part before I approach them. I need to already have that forgiving attitude in my heart before I even come to them to tell them, hey, you wronged me here. I was offended in an area. I don't like how you what you did here. No, I've already been ready to forgive. It's already in my heart. It's in my mind. I'm waiting for, you know, as soon as they apologize, man, I'm ready to give that forgiveness out. If you're not ready to forgive them, don't approach them yet. That means you need to get alone with God and say, God, I need your help. I need to have a forgiving attitude. I can't approach them yet, but I know I need to approach them. And you ask God, Lord, help me to be able to forgive. And just keep praying that until God gives it to you. Then when God gives you that ability to forgive, okay, now you go back. And you approach him and say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. The end result should be forgiveness. It's not just to point out, hey, you wronged me. No, it's so that I can forgive you. So I can forgive you. And Christ even said, look, if they did it seven times in a day, forgive them seven times. If they come back and apologize and say, hey, would you forgive me? Forgive them. I when I was a kid growing up, we listened to Christian radio and they'd have little stories and stuff on there. And I remember hearing one story, you know, they talked about this and it was a little boy and a little girl. And of course, girl had pigtails and little boy came up and, hey, pulled her hair. Well, then he apologized. Well, then he did it six more times. It told seven times in a day. And it's like, am I supposed to forgive him all seven times? Well, if he comes and apologizes, you should forgive him all seven times. And she forgave him all seven times. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, that's kind of a silly example, but it's true. We need to forgive. You know what? We need to forgive them because Christ forgave us. Look at Ephesians 5:32. This should be a familiar verse to you folks. Probably most of the children here could probably say this. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I got thinking about this verse and it's like, be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. Well, be kind in your approach about the matter. How we bring something up to somebody makes a big difference in their reaction back to us. If I'm not kind about it, they're probably not going to listen to me very well. So be kind. Be tenderhearted. Tenderhearted in your attitude. And if you got a lot of pride in there, they may not hear you out. Now, hopefully they will, but they might not. But if I'm tenderhearted in my attitude, I've got a better chance of getting a good response. And then forgiving in our spirit. Make them feel like they can ask you for forgiveness. You ever have someone talk to you and you didn't feel like you could ask for forgiveness? You didn't think it was going to come? Like you were going to ask for it, but you thought, I'm probably not going to get it. Well, if the end result is forgiveness, then we need to make sure they know without saying so many words, but in our attitude and how we are approaching them that, hey, I'm ready to forgive. I'm ready to forgive. Look with me back in Matthew 18. How much should we do this? We saw it till seven times. You know, Peter thought that was the magic number. After seven times, you offend me the seventh. I'm done, man. Got my ledger. Brother so-and-so, he did that seven times. If he does it again, I don't have to forgive him. Yeah, what Peter asked the Lord about that. Verse 21, Matthew 18:21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Just keep on forgiving. So look, man, if your brother still offends you, if he wrongs you, and you got to approach him again, or maybe they know at that time and they come up and apologize, just keep on forgiving. Hey, how many times have we wronged the Lord? And we go to him and he keeps on forgiving for the same offense, time and time and time again. Look, God's got something on us we don't have. He can forget about it. But you know what? He said, you still need to forgive them. Just keep on forgiving. So, that's the person who got trespassed against. What about the trespasser? I'm sure we've all been in the trespassed against. We all can probably think of a time when someone trespassed against us. Yeah, but we've also been in the position where we've trespassed against. Maybe you can't think of it, but you know you've been there. What's your response? What is your responsibility in this whole situation? Because you do have a responsibility. First of all, look at verse 15, Matthew 18. I hope you're still there. Matthew 18, verse 15. Look at it here. It says, Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. You know what your number one job is? Listen. Listen. Often, folks that got hurt, they just want someone to listen to them. They're not necessarily looking for you to understand where they're coming from or whatnot, although that's nice. They want you to listen. So that's our job. Number one, just listen. Hear them out. Don't be, you know, because our tendency is, I didn't do anything wrong. So what do? Come on. We want to get ready. Get ready for the fight. No. Put the gloves down and just listen. Because maybe you did do wrong. So instead of getting ready to, I'm getting the defense shield up. You're a sinner, saved by grace. God saved us. We still got this flesh that bothers us. And bothers other people too sometimes, right? So listen. Hear them out. Give them the common courtesy of just, all right, I'm going to give you my intention. I'm going to hear what you've got to say. I'm going to hear you out. And listen. Number two. Don't get mad when confronted about a transgression. Remember, you are capable of trespassing against someone. You're not perfect yet. We haven't reached glory, okay? Either the rapture or death, man, at that point, when you reach glory, yep, you'll be perfect. You won't have to worry about this. We'll never trespass somebody again. Have a perfect body. Be done with this sinful flesh. It'll be great. But until then, we are capable of trespassing somebody. It is possible. Now, I hope you live your life in such a way that you're trying not to do that. Okay? I do try not to do this. But you know what? It happens. And, you know, sometimes it's personality differences. You ever found that out? My personality, someone else's personality, it might clash a little bit. Well, that doesn't mean that, we're just personality differences, so I don't see what the big deal is. You just leave me alone, I'll leave you. No, God didn't say leave each other alone. He said, let's get along together. So just hear him out. Realize that, hey, it's possible I did something. So don't get the shield up. Don't get ready to defend yourself. And not that you can't defend yourself. Okay, sometimes there's just a misunderstanding. But also understand, I may have wronged them. I got to have some humble pie and I got to apologize. That's not always easy to do. The pride in us, man, it wants to well up. No, there's no way. Yeah, but there is a way. It's happened. Have some of that humble pie and be willing to, number three, repent of the transgression and get things right between you and the offended party. Be willing to apologize. Be willing to humble yourself and say, hey, I'm sorry. Even if it is, well, they just misunderstood what I said. Okay. Hey, I'm sorry you didn't understand what I meant by that. Maybe I need to do better at how I say things. You know, because you can't put the blame on them. You know, you say, well, they misunderstood. That's their fault. No, not necessarily. Maybe you just didn't use the right words. Be willing to say, hey, I'm sorry. Those little words go a long ways. They really do, especially if they're said sincerely. Makes a big impact. Be willing to apologize. Look at verse 23 here. Matthew 18. Christ gives us a story here. It says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall thy heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I'll say this, folks. One of the things that often happens if you're not willing to forgive somebody, you have bitterness. And bitterness will eat you up. It's a real cancer. And I think sometimes that's what them tormentors are. Is you got wronged by somebody and you're not willing to try to forgive and get it made right. And you just let that eat you and eat you and eat you and eat you. And you're going to have it hard in life. Whereas if you would have just been willing to forgive, you wouldn't have all that. Look, if we just do a little comparison here, all right? Hey, do we not owe our God a lifetime of debt? Our sin is that we could never pay it, right? I mean, this debt this man owed, you can do the numbers and figure it out. It's an enormous amount, okay? Unless you're a multi-million billionaire, you ain't paying it, okay? Us normal folks can't afford that debt. How he accrued it? You say, how do you accrue it? I don't know. Little by little, how do we accrue our debt that you know, our sin debt? It just happened each day. But what did God do for us? He didn't say, oh, you can pay me a little bit at a time. No, he said, it's all forgiven. 100%. Done and taken care of. Well, when someone else comes to us who's wronged us, whose offense is not as big as what ours is to God. See, the problem is we look at that and we go, that's a great sum. Look, this man owed 100 pence. I'm not going to belittle that amount. I think it was payable, but it's still quite a bit, okay? It's believed a pence, one penny. You know, we take other stories in the Bible and we go, oh, that was a day's wage. So he owed 100 days worth to him, which is quite a bit of money. Quite a bit of money. Christ says, hey, why don't you just forgive him? You've been forgiven all your debt. Why can't you just forgive that debt? So put that into offenses, okay? Look, I know that the person that caused the offense to hurt you, yeah, it seems like a lot, but we still need to be willing to forgive. Still need to be willing to forgive. Don't let that root of bitterness creep in and just eat you up and be a tormentor to you. Have a forgiving attitude. The whole point of all of this, reconciliation. Reconciliation. You know what? It should be said of First Baptist Church, man, those people love each other. But you know what? If we're not willing to forgive each other, we're not going to love each other. You can't love somebody that you're not willing to forgive. And look, we're all different personalities here. We're going to have a tendency to rub each other wrong once in a while. It's going to happen. And you know what? We may not even know we did it. I'm going to rub you the wrong way at some point. It's surprise, surprise, Brother Smart. It's going to happen, you know. You know what? We need to approach each other with the right attitude. Get things right so we can be reconciled so that, man, we can keep that sweet fellowship going. You ever heard of a church split? Yeah, you want to know what happened? Nobody forgave anybody. And it just caused contention and contention and contention. You know why? Because of their pride. They let their pride get the better of them, and it brought contention. There's no reconciliation, and it just tore the whole church apart because the people weren't willing to reconcile with one another. Go to John 13. This is the last scripture we're going to look at tonight. If we would have this attitude one towards another, what doesn't matter which group you're in. You're the person who got the offense to, or you're the person who did the offending. Okay? Either way, if both parties should have this attitude, we'll be able to work things out and get things resolved. And I hope it can be said of our church that we are this type of people. John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have one love one to another. Not if you go out and witness and door knock for me, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not if you're faithful to be in the house of God, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Not if you tell people your testimony about how you got saved, shall all men know that ye are my disciples. If ye have love one to another, will all men know that ye are my disciples. We show love to each other. Which, look, you can't forgive if you don't have love in your heart. It's just not going to happen. And you can't ask for forgiveness if you don't have love in your heart towards somebody. Love means you care about that person. And so you care about the fact that, man, I wronged you, and I don't like that I did that. I'm sorry. And then as the forgiving party, and if I got loved you, I'm going to say, yeah, I forgive you. But if I'm not willing to forgive, or if I'm not willing to ask for forgiveness, there's no love there. The love is gone. That's the problem. Herein shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Look, we want to tell this world, this city, we're followers of Christ. Let's have love one to another. How do you respond when you've got a transgression happen to you? Do you take care of it properly? Or do you stew on it? Look, I don't know if any problems going on in this church right now, okay? This is a message that, hey, if there's nothing going on, tuck it away. Save it for when you know you need it, okay? But, man, if you're stewing on something because someone wronged you, get it taken care of. Whether it's here, whether it's another believer. Get it taken care of. If you know you've wronged somebody, don't wait for them to come up and tell you about it. Go apologize to them. I hope that's not the case. Don't sit there and go, well, you know, when they come tell me, then I'll go take care of it. No, if you think you wronged them, do the right thing. Go get it taken care of right away. Don't wait. I've seen that happen too, where, man, I feel like I wronged somebody and I went up to them and apologized and they're like, oh no, there's no problem at all. But you know what? You know what happened? I knew it. And you know what I still saw? That reconciliation. Because that other brother or sister realized they care about me enough that they came up to get something right with me. They love me. They care about me. And that fellowship, man, it just got just a little bit sweeter. A little bit sweeter. Let it be said of this church that we love each other. We love each other. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.